has done.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, sir.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard and Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
Amen. Amen. And blessings from Laramie. We finally warmed up a little bit today and looking forward to a great broadcast tonight. I think you got a husband, wife. Coming on to give a testimony, so I'm really looking forward to that, and I'll be standing by and letting you know when they call in.
All right, sir, appreciate it. And we do welcome everybody tonight to Hope is Alive, a show about hope, hope in Jesus. It's a show about testimony. It's a program that helps you to overcome the things that are hindering you through the process called deliverance. And if you have any questions regarding deliverance, feel free to go to deliveranceusa.com. Wealth of information there. Certainly help you with self-deliverance, testimonies, training, prayers, problems list, all the things you need for deliverance. Or, if you like a book, you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling him at the, calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you need that book. I think we ask a $20 offering for it, and he will certainly get it out to you. Now, Pastor, every time I sit here waiting and I hear that introduction, I just, the promises that you and I and other believers will heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, and even raise the dead. I mean, that's just... It's just a wonderful, wonderful promise that power and authority granted to us. And, you know, sometimes I just sit back and I think about that, and I think, me? Me, Lord?
Yes. Those are the doctrines of Christ, actually. And, yes, I have to pinch myself as well, Ralph, ever so often. Who, me? Do these things? Well, we're believers. And that's what Jesus, what he commanded, was believers to do these things. So you qualify, I qualify. Jesus is our Lord. We're born-again Christians. And so as believers, we can do this in his name.
Yep, because we've been given power and authority as ambassadors. And when an ambassador goes to another country, it has every right to act in full force of the laws set out in that country it sent them. So when Jesus sent us out as ambassadors, he equipped us, he paid the price, conquered the last enemy, his shed blood is sufficient, and his authority is there, and he says, y'all go do it. Well, that's my interpretation. Y'all go do it. Well, praise the Lord. Pastor, how this went? How this? No, wait, Monday was Labor Day weekend. He didn't have anybody this Monday, did you?
That's correct. Seems strange not to be having it, but then it happens every year. And I did have a great ministry case today. It was actually the second round with a man with level 4 cancer. And we ministered to him before, but it appears there was some more unforgiveness that surfaced, and we really worked hard on that today, and even from birth up through the years, and, you know, worked through unforgiveness, you know, family, relationships, who you worked for, if you were in the military, churches where there might have been hurt feelings, you know, school days, teachers, fellow students, sports. You know, if you've lived enough years and the flesh wants to accommodate it, where there would be bitterness and unforgiveness, the flesh would like to get even. But the Bible is extremely clear. Nevertheless, we are to forgive whoever has trespassed us, as the Lord's Prayer even says. And as Jesus said in Matthew 18:34 and 35 in the King James, that we need to forgive or we'll be turned to the tormentors. And certainly cancer is a torment, as well as usually we find there's about 36 evil spirits with most Christians that we minister to, and they have turned themselves to the tormentors. So typically with unforgiveness toward themselves, and on a few occasions unforgiveness toward God, where they've never had any training, that Satan's out there to steal, kill, and destroy, and doing all kinds of bad things. So not knowing that, they just blame everything on God. You know, God, why did you do this or that? Well, it wasn't God at all, not our God Almighty. It is the God of this world, Satan, and he's pulling the strings with his demons. So it's an ongoing thing when we minister to people. While we have all power, it's been given to us, if the person or his ancestors have, due to the sins and iniquities of the forefathers, if they've opened doors for these evil spirits and these generational curses coming down the line that we run into constantly, then we've got to deal with that to knock that out. And then, praise God, the word performs itself, where Jesus, in this case, took his infirmities 2,000 years ago, and by his stripes, this man was healed, and that's what we're declaring. In the deliverance, I could not get the head demon up, but I went ahead and spoke to the demons responsible for the level 4 cancer. This case today is in his stomach area, and commanded those demons responsible to take it out. We've been having pretty good success in doing that in other cases. Even though I couldn't communicate directly, I commanded it and had the angels back my command, Hebrews 1:14, and finally cast them all out, all the related spirits. While I was doing all that, the man reported to me later how he felt things going on in his stomach area where the tumor was. And of course, I'm considering that as a sign and wonder they were reading about in Mark 16:20. Sign and wonder following. And that's what, I'm believing, you hear the reports on the next MRI, he's going to be clear.
Well, I'm believing it too. I remember years ago, I don't remember if I was talking to a chiropractor or listening to a chiropractor, but they talked about how there's certain things that feed cancer. One of those would be, which, you know, this ministry knows it because it talks about it often, Scriptures for America, that acidity, you need to alkaline your body. So or if you have an acidic body or if you eat a lot of sugar, it feeds cancer. But this this doctor had said that he believed that cancer was emotional. And at the time, I didn't quite understand what he meant by that. But now, here we are, years down the road, I look at that, and I see, well, it has lots of emotions to do with forgiving. And you'd be really surprised, especially go through deliverance, the people you'll pop up from time to time. Well, I've never forgiven that person. The other day, I was talking with my brother, and we were talking about someone from our youth, somebody who picked on me and bullied me and a friend downtown, and you know, laughing about my brother, how he was going to go find him and take care of him for doing that for us, being a big brother. But as we were talking, I said some things like, well, I often wonder what went on in that young man's life to make him that way. You know, what kind of home life he had, what kind of trauma was he suffering? As we're talking, I'm sitting there thinking, and it's revealed to myself, the Holy Spirit revealed, well, Ralph, you never forgave that man. I forget, well, he's a boy, man now, but a boy then. And I stopped and said that. I said, you know, I never forgave him. I have never forgave him. And right there, I just said his name. I said, I forgive him. His name is Jeff. I forgive Jeff. I bless Jeff. And, and this morning, just as I was just talking about, Lord, pronounce a blessing upon his life. If he doesn't know you, reveal yourself to him and heal whatever it was that was brought upon him at that time in his life. So, it's an ongoing process when it comes to forgiveness. Wouldn't you say that?
Absolutely. It is a process. And, again, if you've lived long enough, you've had plenty of people that you feel have done you wrong. So you've got to deal with those. I had this man today even go from year one on up. And we picked up some there. It's just, you know, we're all kind of complicated. When it gets down to it, but praise God we can work through it nevertheless and forgive and bless, as you say, and praise God get that door closed.
Yes, and sometimes you'll sit there and you'll think, well, that person deserved my forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I'm sure you've had that thought before, huh?
Yes.
I know I have. And even if you do not believe it, if you say it enough, eventually that forgiveness happens. I've witnessed this in my life, forced myself to say it every time something would come up and say, okay, well, I you're kind of clenching your teeth when you say it, and you're like, well, I forgive so-and-so, and well, I don't just forgive them, I bless them. Well, you know, it didn't take very much longer before it just comes up and that thought comes to you. You know, and it's a lot of times it's if that thought comes up on somebody else, it will perish the thought. I've already forgiven him. And but sometimes I'll have to sit there, or her, or whoever it may be, and just say, well, I forgive them and I bless them. And I can honestly say this, Pastor, it comes out so easy out of my mouth now. I mean, you know,
yes.
five years into my first deliverance session, and I'll tell you, it's a war, it's an attack, it's a battle. And there are times we've got to work on things. There's times that we stumble. And then we got to make sure we try to close the doors on those. But it's easier. It's getting easier. It's getting easier to recognize. It's getting easier to exercise on it. And it's getting easier to apply what I know.
Yes, I tell the people on Monday nights that have come for the deliverance sessions that the way they're going to have to live the rest of their life, if somebody does them wrong, you're going to have to immediately whisper out. You don't have to do it in front of them, we find, and just whisper out to Jesus that you forgive that person and you bless them. And that's what we got to do the rest of our lives, to keep that door closed so we're not turned to the tormentors. Not that Jesus does it, but we open a door automatically for these tormentors to come in when we do that.
Yes. And some people are more susceptible to certain doors than they are other ones. So it's just best to err on the side of forgiveness. Pastor, we have Sherry. Sherry, thank you for calling us this evening.
Hello.
Hi, Sherry. Thanks for calling in. That's Ralph up in the Branson area, co-host here, and I'm excited you called in. Why don't you go ahead, Sherry, and just give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and changes you've seen and so on. So go right ahead.
All right. Well, I'm not from Oklahoma City. I was born and raised in Indiana, and then my family moved to Ohio when I was in first grade. And I got saved in my church that I've pretty much been in church my whole life. My parents dedicated us as babies, and when I turned 9, I went forward for a salvation, responded to a salvation message in a fundamentalist denomination, and went forward and received Christ. And that was in 1973, and then I continued to grow up in church, and my parents faithfully took me to church, and then basically I walked away from the Lord during my high school years and part of my college years, and then I came back to the Lord, and I never was water baptized because I went forward to talk to my pastor about it at about age 12, and why I wasn't water baptized at that time, I don't know. I just remember responding to a message about baptism and realizing I had never been water baptized, and my pastor kind of brushed me off, and I remember thinking as a 12-year-old, well, it must not be that important. So I ended up in my high school years just kind of gradually, you know, falling away from the Lord. And during my college years, there were a couple of guys in my college dormitory that were witnessing to me and realized that I was a believer, but I wasn't really walking with the Lord. And around that same time frame, started attending some campus ministry outreach things, and kind of God was tugging at my heart to come back to Him. And around that same time frame, my sister had come into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and she was praying for me and kind of talking to me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord was working in my life, and I ended up taking a trip, 3-hour trip home one weekend, and I actually went forward at a church meeting and really rededicated my life to the Lord and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I didn't really speak in tongues right away, but I was encouraged that on my drive home to just begin worshiping and let the words come out, and the words would flow, and sure enough, I started praying in tongues on my way home, and that was new to me because I was not really taught that in my home church. And one of the first things the Lord did was just remind me that I needed to be water baptized. I started feeling that nudge of the Holy Spirit to be water baptized, so I went back on another weekend, and that same pastor who had prayed over me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit water baptized me, and I was in my 20s, and it was around that, a short time after that, that I was delivered in my apartment from a relationship, and it was kind of the first time that I had realized that I had some soul ties and things, some emotional ties to this one particular boyfriend that I had had, and we would break up and get back together and break up and get back together, and really the alone in my apartment, the Lord did an emotional deliverance when I just responded in obedience to end that relationship, and I cried out to God and asked him for help to get free from that relationship, and the Lord just did an emotional deliverance, and that was kind of my first introduction to deliverance, and it was just directly from the Holy Spirit. And then around about maybe a few weeks, several weeks after I ended that relationship, I met my husband, who I've been married to for 33 years in August, and when we started out in our relationship, I began to witness to him about what was happening and about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he was raised Baptist, so he was open to it, but still kind of a little bit mystified by the things of the Spirit. And I was just eager to learn. I was just going at, you know, reading my Bible and trying to learn as much as I could. And, like, we ended up getting married within 9 months. And a year later, we were stationed in Alaska because my husband was in the military, went into the military, and then he eventually went to pilot training, and we moved around the country for 20 years during our Air Force, during my husband's Air Force career, and he went to pilot training about 3 years into our marriage, and that it was really during those years, those early years, that I started pursuing the things of the Spirit, and I had my first real encounter with a demonic spirit, deliverance with a young girl that was in the youth group that my husband and I were serving in our church, and we were working in the youth department. And I spent a few hours with about five people who were gathered in the church foyer, and a demon manifest in this girl that we had been ministering to, and we spent the next few hours just praying over her and getting her set free. And thankfully, there was a leader there in the church that was kind of guiding this deliverance experience, and that was really the first that my eyes were open to that a Christian could have a demon and manifest demons. But I remember being a little reluctant to pursue continuing to pray for people for deliverance, even though the Lord let me have several experiences where people would manifest demons when I would just be talking to them or talking about the word. And I asked the Lord, what is this, you know, deliverance stuff? What is this? And I remember the Lord saying to me, this is just training. This is training ground. And fast forward, you know, through the years of moving around the United States in the military, I continued to attend church, serve in church, pursue the things of the Spirit, and I got a lot of deliverance over the years from different things. But when we did our last assignment, my husband was stationed in Enid, Oklahoma, and he was that's where he got out of the military in 2007 and became a contractor, and now he's a commercial pilot. But during those that time in Oklahoma City, that's how I first found out about Everett's ministry, because I was ministering to someone in my church, and they were manifesting demons, and I still felt like, even though I acknowledged that was something we should be able to do as believers, I did believe that I had authority to cast demons out, but I still felt overwhelmed to do it by myself. And so I ended up taking this lady to Everett's ministry. Someone had told me about Everett's ministry in 2012, and I attended it just to basically give this lady a ride there and sit and wait until she was done. And while I was sitting there waiting for her, the Lord said, you know, started really speaking to me about, you know, and asked me, why don't you do this? And I was a little bit stunned, because I was like, well, Lord, you wouldn't be asking me if you didn't know that I needed this. So I agreed. I just went online and I signed up to come back the next week and go through it myself. And during that door closing prayer, I remember just this sense of all those questions that I had about deliverance and about getting free, and just for the first time, I think, in my whole Christian walk, I saw firsthand the natural life of a supernatural believer in Christ. I just felt like Everett made it seem so normal, like it was such a normal part of my Christian walk to get free myself. And I remember when he was doing the door closing prayers, I remember things were coming off of me. And even during the door closing prayer, I knew I was receiving some deliverance. And the Lord let me know that he was going to put me with the right prayer team that night, and I ended up with Mary Jo. And I remember just going through the whole inventory of things that I felt like I needed to be, you know, that problem areas, which was really helpful for me to have that guidance of the way that Everett puts the materials together. It just makes it so easy to highlight the problem areas that I was struggling with. And the prayer team, I remember the ministry time was just so wonderful. I was getting free from things that I'd really been bound by for years, but didn't realize they were still strongholds in my life. And I remember being so moved by that experience and the freedom that I felt. I just wanted to tell people about it. And I gave several books away to people explaining my experience. And I even tried to encourage my husband to go through the deliverance. And he was a little bit more resistant, and which I can see, because it's just something that you don't hear in church a lot. A lot of pastors do not want to address the need for deliverance and the reality of being oppressed as a Christian. And that, you know, really it just comes down to Jesus not only gives us salvation, but he gives us deliverance and healing. And a lot of times healing, I started to learn that even healing was sometimes tied to the need to get free from demonic oppression in order to get healing. So I just remember thinking this was such a treasure in Oklahoma City. I'd been all over the country as a military spouse in lots of different churches and served in a lot of ministries, but I had never encountered something like Everett's ministry where it was just so normal, and the language and just the experience just seemed so natural and normal for a believer that I thought every believer needs to go through this deliverance.
Oh, that's awesome, Cherry. Wow, what a testimony. And it's just exciting to learn about this. I mean, I was the same way. It was just fascinating, but also so fulfilling to find out that little us, in Jesus' name, can actually see lives turned around as we minister to them and watch it. And so many people, they look younger and they look so different after the ministry session. And of course, as you mentioned, physical healing often takes place in the same process.
Right.
Because those spirits of infirmities have come through the same doors, a spirit of fear or anger or depression, whatever, has come through as well. Well, that's so exciting. So your husband did go through, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And there was it seems like there was a timing involved in that.
Yeah, and we kind of hit it off, your husband being a pilot. I flew for like 30 years and developed 5,000 pilot hours, and so I always enjoy talking to another pilot. I haven't flown since 88 now, but we hit it off. So he's coming up to give his testimony here in a few minutes, and we had a great ministry session. Have you seen changes in him?
Oh, yes. Yeah, And the neat thing about that was just when things kind of hit rock bottom for him, I didn't really even have to ask him to go through deliverance. There was just a readiness for him. He just knew, I think he knew, I'm dealing with some spiritual bondages that need to be dealt with, and he knew that, you know, surrendering and getting that Jesus would be faithful to set him free. I mean, I feel like he had seen me change over the years enough that he knew Jesus had brought freedom to me, and I think that was probably really motivating for him, that he knew that there was a ministry right here that he could go to, and when I mentioned the ministry, he went online and just signed up and said, I'm already signed up, and when he got home that Monday, it was just a week ago Monday, he spent about 5.5 hours there at the ministry.
Yes. Yeah, it takes a while to go through it all, and some people say, well, I don't know that I want to stay at that place that long, but I often say to them, well, it'd be about the same amount of time if you went out to eat and went to a movie. Do you think this
right.
might be a better choice?
Yes.
Anyway, to see your life turned around, it's a small amount of time, but also it takes some time to be thorough, and it often is not a quick thing, even though deliverance does happen lots of different ways, as you even experienced. The steps we've learned over these years has made it more efficient and more lasting. Well, we're out of time. Thanks, Sherry,
yeah.
so much for sharing. Wonderful testimony. Blessings to you.
Thank you, Everett. I will tune in.
Bye-bye.
And listen to see.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
Well, Pastor, we have Steve with us. Steve, thank you for joining us.
Well, hi, Everett.
Hi, Steve. And Ralph is on here with me up in the Branson area. We're so glad you called in. And we just had a wonderful testimony from Sherry. Well, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and some background
right.
when you were born
well,
again
yeah, I was
li- and how
I was
you learned about
to, to Sherry and almost lost track of the time and forgot to call in. But well, listen, I was raised in a Christian church, in a Christian home. Was in church every time the doors were open. It was a good fundamental Baptist church, and you know, Bible believing, and they loved Jesus, and I was there every time the doors were open. When I was 12 years old, I was in a vacation Bible school, and on Thursday afternoon, when they asked if anyone wanted to receive Jesus into their hearts, I knew that it was time for me to do that. And so I believe that was the day that I was born again, which would be August 12th of 1974. I guess I was still 11, a couple of weeks short of 12 years old, so I was still 11. And mm-hmm. which is odd because I hated going to vacation Bible school. It took me away from playtime in the summer. That's back in the days before video games when kids liked to play outside.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was in church every time and active in the youth group, and I was, I guess, what you'd call a good kid. And then at some point, I'm going to get real with you, and you and I have talked about this. At some point, I was exposed to, I guess we would call it sexual abuse, as a youngster at about that time. Might have been a little before, a little after. I'm really unclear about the time, but I didn't understand what was going on. All I knew is if I said anything about it, I was going to be in trouble. And I believe that was the door that opened to, demonic oppression in my life. I subsequently was exposed to pornography and that had plagued me throughout my adult life. I went away to college, fell away from God, became very promiscuous, which again opened more demonic oppression in my life. I got married to that lovely woman that you were just talking to a few minutes ago, who has shown me the love of Jesus in her life and just been such a witness to me throughout the years that we've been together. I have treated her terribly, and I'm very ashamed of what I have done. I'm forgiven for what I've done. And I know that, but I have never treated her right as a husband. And, yet she forgives me. She shows that forgiveness of God. And, but even as an adult, I was addicted to pornography, and I sought approval from other women. And it was a compulsion, and I guess I don't want to make it sound like psychobabble, because it kind of does to me, the analytical part of me. It sounds like psychobabble to say that it was an addiction, and I felt compelled, but I really feel that there were voices that I was listening to that were not from God, that were telling me, this is how you can get approval. Do you understand what I'm talking about when I say that, Everett?
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, we see that a lot in our ministry. It's quite common. And to hear voices is quite common.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say they were audible voices, although they were definitely thoughts planted in my head, for sure. And mm-hmm. you know, listen, men out there, if there are any men listening to this and you're struggling with pornography and you're struggling with compulsive behavior sexually, there is hope. God can heal you. And that's where I went. I went into deliverance as a result of this. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't weird. There wasn't any incense burning and chanting or anything like that. It was just plain language, prayer, and deliverance. And I was delivered of a demon of lust, and there were other demons there. I don't know their names. I don't want to know their names. I'm just glad they're gone. But it was such a liberating experience to feel that lift off of me. And after that, I just, the compulsions are gone. I also, Everett prayed for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And again, the analytical part of me, I was, you know, raised as a Baptist to believe that those gifts were for the early church, the first century church at Pentecost, and that was it. They're done. But I have prayed and spoken in tongues over the last week and a half, and I feel that bubbling up inside of me to want to do that now. And even if I don't understand the words, I feel edified in my spirit, and I believe that's what that's about. I just want, I would encourage anyone who is struggling to seek out deliverance, because it's there, it's for you, and it can make a difference in your life.
And Steve, you had a short leg when we were ministering on the limb check. 3/4 of the
leg. Yes.
And we watched it adjust, praise God. And it
Amen.
Came out equal to the other, and often that helps a person in relief from pain and that kind of thing. Have you seen any changes that way?
Well, I would like to say I had neck surgery a few months ago, and you prayed for greater mobility in my neck, and I was able to actually look up, raise my head. I had 3 vertebrae fused from my years flying high G aircraft, where it damaged the vertebrae in my neck, and I had to get those fused, and I was able to actually look up, and my range of motion is improved significantly from what I had, and I had no pain or discomfort in my neck area. And of course was really not suffering any pain in my legs. But I have had problems with my lower back as well, and I've had no issues with that, since we were together there, on that Monday night.
Praise God. And Steve, when we were ministering, we were able to get the head demon up, which, and it reported there were 16 demons under its authority. And like you said, we didn't need to know the names of all of them. Main thing was, once it was talking through your mouth like that, is I could interrogate it to make sure there weren't any doors still open, you know, no legal rights for the demons that are there to remain, and any satanic assignments coming out of Satan's war room that had not been canceled. And once we made sure that was clear, then we're in a position to send them away, but we were able to get the top 10 lies it was speaking into your head. Do you remember all that?
Oh, yes, sir, I do.
Could you hear the Spirit talking through you okay?
I could. Oddly enough, that was kind of an unusual experience, I would have to say. Never had that experience before.
Yes, most people haven't, and that's exactly what they say. But it turns out to be a very efficient type of ministry. It doesn't work on everybody. I find about 1 out of 3. Depends on the sensitivities of the person. But it went very well, and I even got your God-given gifts. Were there any gifts on there that you didn't know you had?
I don't remember all of them. I have them written down. I have paper, but I don't remember all of them. But I couldn't tell you specifically which ones that I didn't know that I had. But I know there were some that were kind of a surprise.
Praise God. Well, it's exciting to get a Jesus overhaul. And I mean, that's really what you've received. I often call it that, a Jesus overhaul, because a person's life can be turned around, so you're clear to go forward in life abundant, as Jesus said he brought for us. But those evil spirits, they being there to steal, kill, and destroy, and to block a Christian's life, and to block their God-given gifts, and they're doing that through the Christian body in a major way. It's a small percentage of people. I suspect less than 1% of the Christian body in America is even familiar with what you experienced.
Yes, and I know that there are so many people in the church that are oppressed, that are struggling, and they think they're alone. They think they're the only one who are dealing with the things they're dealing with, but they're not alone.
Yes,
they're not.
So
they
true.
Just need to reach out to the people around them, to fellow believers. I mean, the James says if you confess your sins one to another, that's where you'll have healing.
Yes. Yeah. Well.
But your secret sins will keep you in bondage.
That's right. And these so many people in the churches, they've never been taught anything about the demonic. In fact, many churches teach that Christians are immune to the evil spirits, which the enemy loves that one, because they can move so freely, not detected. They're under the radar. We pilots can talk about that. They're under the radar where they're never suspected. And so they have a heyday and can work the person over, and the person as a Christian even never resists, even though he or she has the power to resist, but never does. And the enemies just continue to steal, kill, and destroy. And they're very successful at it. They've had lots of practice. And that's why you see a lot of these suicides and people falling out of grace, even in high levels in the churches of due to sexual involvements and what have you. And the enemy
yes.
is behind so much of that. And we're, as a church as a whole, is just totally vulnerable to this because they've never been taught about it.
Right, and the biggest danger is ignorance of the enemy.
Yes, exactly.
If you
right.
don't know, I mean, that's and that's not that's a biblical principle, but that's also a concept in the history of warfare. If you don't know, the most dangerous enemy is the one you don't know.
Exactly. And so it's exciting to learn who we are. I you know, I can talk about this because up to age 44, I didn't have the slightest myself. You know, I was being worked over. I had some of the same problems that you had. And, you know, I had no idea that it was something demonic. And so I just praise God somebody shared with me and I learned about it. Or I could have gone the rest of my life and never getting free of it.
And I'm grateful for that you were, and that you were able to help me and so many others.
Yes, that's amazing to me. It's the most fulfilling thing I've ever done in my life. And that God would use little me to do this kind of ministry. Well, the good news is he'll use little you and little Sherry and all the rest of believers out there, whoever would get, they're already licensed to do this by Jesus, since he told us and even commanded us to cast out demons and heal the sick, lay hands on them and all. And And so, praise God that you're in a position to where you can learn. Maybe you and Sherry would, at some point, could go through the training and even learn how to do it and help others just like I have.
Yeah, we're planning to do that, Everett. We've talked about that. And actually, we were praying, Sherry and I were praying just a little while before Sherry called you, that God would put the words in our mouths and that he would use our testimony as uncomfortable as it may be to share some of the things that we've shared, that it might reach someone out there, that they might identify with it and maybe give them the incentive to reach out to you to help them, because help is here. Help is available.
Yes, and all the things you mentioned are extremely common in the church, with pastors, et cetera, pornography and so on. And most of them don't know where to get help. We've had people, pastors come in even from other states, to get free from pornography and all. So many people, they'll call the office, the ministry office at Deliverance Ministries, and say, there's no one doing this in our state. And they'll drive. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had a couple of people drive all the way from Connecticut.
Oh, my.
It was a huge drive.
Yeah.
And probably took them about 3 days. I never did ask them how long it took them, but it had to be a long time to get here. And, you know, they always report it was worth it. And the people that come from these distant spots and over the country, they'll say, well, it was worth it. And I can see why, because if your life is turned around, you would go a long distance to see that happen.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank
yes,
you so much.
There's no distance
tonight
that you wouldn't travel for that kind of freedom.
Absolutely. Well, in the couple of minutes remaining, what else would you like to say to the listeners before we wind up, Steve?
Oh, well, I know that that God is gracious. He's provided his son Jesus, who gave up everything for you, for me, for each one of us, that we could have, not just so we could barely get into heaven, you know, not so we'd have, you know, fire insurance, but so that we could live full, rewarding lives and be free to serve him. And if you're in bondage, you can't be free. You've got to get freedom before you can really be an effective witness and an effective minister of the gospel. And Everett taught us that as ministers of the gospel, we are all ministers of the gospel, and that we have all authority, and that we are supposed to be casting out demons, and that we have the power to perform miracles. And I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to not me performing miracles, but for God to work through me to manifest his power, to use me to do that. And that's just exciting. It gives me goosebumps to think about that as part of my future.
Amen. And, you know, with all the thrills that come with flying, as you have experienced and I have myself, this is the greatest high of all in ministering to the hurting people and seeing their lives turned around right in front of us. I'm on a high for days after that happened. Well, thank you so much for calling in tonight, Steve. That was a wonderful testimony. It definitely will encourage others out there. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Everett.
Thank you, Steve.
Look forward to seeing you again.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
That was a fantastic testimony with on both halves. It's just a wonderful thing that here's a husband and wife that saw problems in their marriage, saw problems in their Christian walk, saw problems in their life. And they both decided to go through deliverance. And the marriage has got to be stronger. It's going to have more joy. And they're going to have that life and life abundantly that he was describing. You know, there's so much more to the Christian walk than just, well, I'm going to go to heaven. And as he says, I got fireproof insurance. Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly. And if you're not having that life and life abundantly, maybe you need deliverance. You can look into deliveranceusa.com. Can't get out to Oklahoma City, but the self-help links are there. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. Of course, you can always obtain that by calling Rich at the office, 307-742-7582. Let him know you need that book, and he'll certainly get it out to you. It's the real deal out there. It does affect Christians. Steve's testimony was very personal to me because it seemed a lot like my walk, not being the husband I should be, the pornography addiction, the infidelity, the lust that was there. And so often in my life, I heard voices that would literally talk me into doing things that I knew was wrong. And those voices aren't there anymore. Occasionally I'll hear a whisper, but not like I used to hear them, and I just use that exercise, perish of thought, and they're gone. But we do thank everybody for joining us again this Wednesday evening. It sure is a joy to come on here and hear the testimonies and give praise to our Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, I'll be seeing you this weekend. I'm heading out to Oklahoma City and looking forward to it. And we thank everybody for joining us, and we'll see you next week. God bless you.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.